From the Fort Payne Church of Christ, join us now as Jimmy Holland preaches the simple gospel of Christ. And now, here's Jimmy.
All of you with us this morning, especially those of you who are visiting with us, we want you to know that you are our honored guest, and we're so thankful to have you, and we encourage you back every opportunity that you may have. We have quite a few who are traveling here and traveling off to visit family for the holidays. And let's make sure that we are keeping all of our travelers in our prayers. You know, tomorrow's a big day. Callie's been asking for about a month and a half now if it's Christmas Day yet, but I only have to tell her no one more time, and then it is. One of the questions submitted in the box that we discussed was, when we look at December 25th as the birth of Christ, what does the scripture say about that? And I was teaching a similar class a few years ago. I was asked the same question, and we were discussing that class. And we know, if just to remind you of what the scriptures teach, the scriptures don't teach December 25th as the birthday of Christ, nor that we are to religiously celebrate that holiday. And we were making that point, and someone made the comment, you know, the birth of Jesus really doesn't matter. The only thing the birth of Jesus is important is because he had to be born in order to die. And it took me a minute to respond to that statement. Because just because we don't teach December 25th as the birth of Christ, in no way means that the birth of Jesus isn't significant. There are two times a year where millions of people, really, across the world, think about Christ: Christmas and Easter. And I would like to take the opportunity this morning to talk about why the birth of Christ is important, and what God's Word does teach about that. Because, you see, the birth of Jesus to the Christian isn't significant for the sole purpose that he had to be born to die. There's so much more to it than that. You know, for the month of December, we've been talking about the future and looking forward and planning to the future. And when you look at Jesus, Jesus didn't come to earth to be celebrated once or twice a year. And when you look at this event that happened, it is the most significant, or one of two significant events in the history of the world. And when you look at the birth of Jesus, when you begin reading in Genesis all the way to the book of Malachi, what's it pointing to? To Jesus coming. And then you have the Gospels, which talk about the Messiah being here. And then from the book of Acts to Revelation, everything looks back to the coming of Jesus, doesn't it? You see, we can say that December 25th is not the birthday of Christ, but we can still teach and understand that his birth is significant. And I want us to spend some time this morning looking at that and why the birth of Christ does matter for our day-to-day lives. Number one, the birth of Christ matters because God's faithfulness matters. God has made and fulfilled a lot of promises. You look throughout the Old Testament scriptures, you have some 300 prophecies about the coming of Jesus, and every one of them was fulfilled in the New Testament. But you look at the promises that God had given and made in the past. God told Adam and Eve, don't eat of this tree. If you eat of this tree, then this will happen. They ate of the tree, and guess what? God followed through with his promise. God told Noah to build an ark, and that if you build this ark just the way that I tell you to build this ark, I'm going to save your family. Did God keep his promise? Yes, he kept his promise. In Genesis chapter 12, beginning in Genesis 22, excuse me, in verse 18, God talking to Abraham says, and in your offspring shall all the nations of the earth be blessed because you have obeyed my voice. Now God gives Abraham a promise. In your offspring, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Now, was God referring to Isaac? Because that was what Abraham was waiting on. God told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son. And Abraham is waiting and waiting for this son. But in Genesis 22 and verse 18, when God gives the promise that in your offspring all the nations of the earth will be blessed, he was not referring to Isaac. He was not referring to Jacob. Paul tells us who he was referring to in Galatians 3 in verse 16. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say, and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one, and to your offspring, and here it is, who is Christ. Abraham's descendants waited thousands of years for this promise to be fulfilled. Did God fail to come through on his promise? Absolutely not. Paul was saying they waited, and guess what? It's been fulfilled. Here's Christ. He's the fulfillment of that promise. You look at Israel. They were waiting and waiting for the Son of David, the Messiah, to come. Now, when we come to the book of Matthew and we look at the Gospels, we recognize that they were waiting for or wanting a physical king to come and to reign on the physical throne of Israel, to overthrow the Roman government and reestablish Israel to its glory days that they had under David and Solomon. But Jesus came not to establish a physical kingdom, but a spiritual kingdom, we see in Matthew chapter 16. They were waiting for this Messiah. Did he come? Matthew 1 and verse 1, the book of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. God made a promise that the Messiah was going to come, and he came. And when you look at the book of Matthew, Matthew quotes Old Testament scripture more than the other gospel writers, because Matthew is trying to convince the Jews of Jesus' identity. And so he brings back all of these passages that talk about the promise of the Messiah, and he shows that God fulfilled his promise. God didn't come up short. We struggle with that sometimes because we're human. We make a promise. We tell someone we're going to do something, and we try our best to follow through on that promise, but sometimes we just can't because we're limited. God's not limited. God doesn't make a promise and not follow through with it. Now, it may not happen in our time frame. May not happen when we want it to happen, but that doesn't mean that God is not faithful to his promise. The birth of Jesus is a joyful declaration that God is always faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, we like to talk about that passage, about how God's not going to allow us to be tempted more than we are able, but with every temptation will provide a way of escape. But notice what else is said in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 13, that God is faithful. I appreciate our scripture reading being read this morning, 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 19. Notice what Peter says, to commit your soul unto what? Unto a faithful Creator. You can put your faith in him because he follows through with what he says. He's not going to tell us one thing and let us down. So when we read a promise such as Hebrews chapter 8, that I will remember their sins, their iniquities no more, can we believe him? Absolutely. When he promises us, he's not going to put more on us or allow us to be tempted more than we can bear. Can we believe him? Yes. Because he's faithful. When he tells us that if we live faithful unto death, Revelation 2 and verse 10, we shall have a crown of life. Can we believe him? Yes. Because he is faithful. God's never made a promise and not kept it. And the birth of Christ matters because it proves the faithfulness of God. Number two, The birth of Christ matters because God dwelling with us matters. John began his gospel account by declaring that God had been born into the world. If you will, open with me to John 1 and verse 1. John 1 in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Not a God, but the Word was God. Skipping down to verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. We hear that passage time and time again. John 1 and verse 1. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. But I don't want us to miss how important that passage is. I don't want us to get used to it to the point that we forget the impact of what it says. God became flesh and He dwelt among us. Matthew 1 and verse 23, you will call Him Emmanuel. That means God with us. Why is that important? Why does it matter that God dwelled with us? It matters because it reminds us that God's not some distant, faceless creator that created the world, He wound it up, He set everything into motion, and He just steps back and He just watches. And He's unconcerned with what's going on. First time I ever planted a garden by myself, it was first year Lori and I were married, and I worked and worked and worked and got a nice little area made for the garden, and I'd never planted watermelons before, so I went and I bought 2 dozen Carolina gray watermelon plants and I planted them. There was only 2 of us, and I like watermelon. That was a lot of watermelon. And after about a month of trying to, and I don't know if you know this, but a watermelon is a vine, and it grows everywhere. And after about a month of trying to get the right ones off and to try to keep them from overgrowing everything, I got tired of fooling with them. So I just left it. I didn't bother with it anymore. I didn't go out. I didn't work it. I would walk out the back door, and I would see it growing and overgrowing, and I would just move on. I didn't care what happened to it. Somebody came and said, "Hey, can I get some of your watermelons?" Take all you want. I don't care. And so many feel like that's what God has done. God created something. He put it in motion, and then He just doesn't care. But the birth of Christ shows us that that's the furthest thing from the truth. He does care. And what this means to you and me is that He felt what we feel. He experienced what we experience. One of the most comforting passages of Scriptures to me is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. And in Hebrews 4:15, the Hebrew writer tells us, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." I can't look at God and say, "God, you don't know what it's like." There are times where I get people in my office and they're talking about problems. And I give them the best advice that I can. We open the Scriptures and we look at what the Scriptures teach. But there are some things I just don't know what they're feeling, because I haven't experienced it. And so my advice is limited in that way. I can empathize, but I can't sympathize. But I can't look at God and say, "God, you don't know what it's like." Because He knows full well what it's like to live as a man, because He did it. The difference is He did it perfectly, without sin. The birth of Jesus matters because one of the three persons of the Godhead became flesh and He dwelt among us. You know, there are passages that I look at and that we study that just are hard to wrap my mind around. And Philippians 2, beginning in verse 5, is one of those passages that talks about how we've got to have the same mind that was also in Christ Jesus. and how that he counted on being in equality with God, not a thing to be grasped. God, you know, Christ was equal with God. But when he came to earth, he gave that up. And it's not that he just gave it up for a short period of time, for those 33 short years that he was here on this earth, but he gave it up, he submitted himself for eternity. And he did that for you and for me. It's hard sometimes to give up something that we truly care about for other people. For people that we love. Whether it's time. Whether it's a hobby. You know, I had a friend who gave his wife a card that said, "I love you more. I love spending time with you more than I love hunting." That was a big statement for him. It's hard to give things up sometimes that we love. That are important to us. But when we make that sacrifice, it shows how committed we are to those individuals. Look at the sacrifice that Christ made for you and for me. He dwelt among us. The birth of Christ matters because God becoming a servant matters. Paul tells us in Philippians 2 and verse 7, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of man, one of the members of the Godhead, emptied himself. And this goes back to what I was talking about being on an equality with God and giving that up. He surrendered the rights and privileges that deity afforded him. And isn't that a tremendous thought that he gave that up? He sacrificed that for you and me. And it's one thing to give all that up and to come to this earth and to live comfortably. But he didn't come to live comfortably. In Mark 10 and verse 45, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He didn't come for everybody to cater to his every need. The God came to this earth and he washed feet. I try to picture that scene where Jesus is sitting with his apostles and they're sitting on the floor around this table because they didn't sit in chairs and around a table like we do today, and they didn't have socks and covered shoes the way that we have socks and covered shoes. They were either barefoot or had sandals, and let's be honest, feet are gross. And they're sitting there and there's not a servant to wash feet. And no one wants to take the initiative. No one wants to humble themselves in that way. I'll do a lot of things for you, but I'm not going to wash your feet. And then you have God in the flesh. He stood up, put a towel around his waist, and started washing feet. Peter tells us that Christ left us an example that we should follow in his steps. That we should follow after. And if we are going to follow after Jesus, it requires you and I becoming servants. Let's go back to Philippians 2 and see what Paul says in verse 3. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility, count others more significant than yourself. When I look at the events that led up to the coming of Christ, to his birth, you look at the events that took place after his birth and then that led to his crucifixion, everything about him screamed humility. The life that he lived screamed humility. It showed his great concern for others. We tend to put a lot of stock and emphasis on people who do things for others, and rightfully so. We have awards for people who go out of their way to do great things. You have a football player a few months ago after the hurricane in Houston raised millions of dollars to help the victims. You had one of the players who gave up his very first paycheck as an NFL player to help victims, and it made national headlines. What a selfless individual. And it was a great gesture. But look at the extent that Christ went to be a servant. It matters. His birth matters.
You see, our goal should never be to have just one day where we think about Christ and we allow Christ to be preeminent. And that's the struggle. Well, this is a special day, so we're just going to think about Him this day. Or this is a special day, and we're only going to think about Him this day. No, our goal is never to have a day or two where Christ is preeminent. Our goal is to make sure we realize how important His birth, how important His life, how important His death, how important His resurrection is on a daily basis. Every day, I'm reminded of His faithfulness. I'm reminded that He dwelt with us, and I'm reminded that He was a servant. Every day, I want to remember those things because that's the life that I want to emulate. That's the example that I want to follow. That's what I want others to see in me. Jesus tells us that the greatest thing that we can do in life is to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, soul, and mind. Matthew 22:37. Does our lives reflect that? Christ, God, the Father, has never told us to do something that He Himself wasn't willing to do. He tells us to be faithful, but He was faithful and remains faithful. He tells us to sacrifice. Next month for January, we're going to talk about rise up and follow and be a disciple of Jesus. Follow after Jesus. One of the demands of discipleship, Matthew 16:24. If any man desires to come after me, let him take up his cross and follow after me, is to do just that, is to sacrifice. To say it's no longer about me, it's no longer about my wants and desires from now on. It is all about You. It's about Your will. His willingness to dwell with us shows us that He was willing to sacrifice for us. And to give up something that we can't even begin to imagine. He tells us to serve, and then He left us the example. His birth matters. And I pray that every day our lives reflect how important, how significant this event was. Maybe there's someone here this morning who hasn't yet taken advantage of the greatest gift offered. You know, Christmas is a day of gifts. We exchange gifts. We save up all year many times in order to give gifts. And we want these gifts to mean something. We want the people that we're sharing these gifts with for them to appreciate those gifts. God gave us the greatest gift of all in His Son. He gave us the ability to be one of His children. And if you haven't taken advantage of that gift this morning, please do. There's no better time than now to begin changing or repenting of your sins, to confess Jesus as the Son of God, and to have every sin you've ever committed washed away by the blood of Christ through the waters of baptism, to rise up a new person, a new creation, having the ability to walk a new life. If you've done that, but somewhere along the way, maybe you've gotten off course, maybe
you haven't been following His example the way that you know you should. You know the changes you need to make, and you can start making them right where you sit this morning. But perhaps you need us as your forever family to pray with you, to encourage you. We're always happy to do that. If we can help you in any way this morning, please won't you come as we stand and as we sing.
Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day. Day I will never forget.
We hope you've enjoyed another lesson from God's Word. We invite you to join us at our worship services at the Fort Payne Church of Christ. Bible study Sunday morning at 9:30, worship service Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening worship at 6 p.m., and Wednesday Bible study at 6:30 p.m. Visit us at our website at www.fortpaynecoc.com.
Oh, heaven came down and glory filled my soul.